Name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. One of the interesting things about living in the internet age is I've been noticing something over the last couple of years. And that is a phenomenon of fake news. Now, I'm not talking about satire. I'm not talking about like The Onion or The Daily Show or things that are meant for humor, but I've found a lot of articles and news sources that are actually completely made up. They just create articles, and then people will post them and thinking that they're real things. I haven't really figured out what this is about. A couple years ago, I saw an article that said that a Viking ship had been discovered, dug up on the banks of the Mississippi. Now, this one made such an impact that somebody actually wrote into our local newspaper about it. And then last year, I started seeing one, and it was Betty White dies alone in her home. What you don't realize is that dies is spelled with a Y, as in like her hair. And then yesterday, I saw one that said that the HIV virus is being spread through bananas in Oklahoma, which is not only preposterous, but impossible. So, here's the thing. I can't really quite figure out what this phenomenon is all about. What is the purpose of doing fake news? A lot of them will even pretend to be real news sources until you read a disclaimer somewhere at the bottom or on another page of the website. But I can't quite figure it out, whether it's a cruel joke for someone who falls for it, or if it's just a way that advertisers get more visibility, or what the purpose is. But, you know, false news is not a new thing. We encounter all kinds of things that are presented well, but are really untrue. And things like this can make life confusing. It can pull us in many directions and lead us astray. We heard today St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, a very opening to this letter. And you notice Paul, he starts off with a lot of formalities. I, Paul, blah, 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 grace to you and peace from God our Father, blah, 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 forever and ever, amen. And then he just punches right into it. And he says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And then Paul goes on and says, but there are some who are confusing you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. What is this all about? Well, Paul's letter to the Galatians, to give you some background, is likely one of his earlier letters. It was written somewhere, give or take a few years, around 50 AD. Now, this is about 10 years before the Gospel of Mark was written. And Mark, despite the order that they are in the Bible, Mark was actually the first gospel written. So this is 10 years before any of these other books called gospels. So when Paul is talking about the gospel, he's not referring to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or any book that is about the life of Christ. What Paul is talking about is a concept, and that is the concept of good news. And that good news is that Christ saved us, Christ freed us from the law, and that everyone is welcome into God's kingdom. So that is the good news that Paul is talking about here. Now he's writing to these people in Galatia. Galatia, unlike other of letters of Paul, where he writes either personal letters to individuals or to a particular city, Galatia is a region. It's still today, there's a region in central Turkey called Galatia. Capital Ankara is part of this region. And what's interesting about Galatia, unlike almost anywhere else that Paul wrote to, Galatia was populated in the 3rd century BC by a tribe of Celts, which seems really out of place. So yes, imagine if you have like Irish or Scottish or Welsh heritage, Paul's writing to your cousins here. But these people, not surprisingly, were always Gentiles. They had no Judaic background. There was no ethnic connection to the Jews. They had no encounter with the Torah, the law. They had no covenant of circumcision. All of these things were foreign to them. And what seems to be happening here is that St. Paul and some of the early Christian missionaries went in and they opened up Christianity to the non-Jews and saying, hey, Christ is for you. Christ is for everyone. They were meeting people where they are and not asking them to fall in line. They were just sharing the good news as it is. But then Paul and his followers leave. And then others come along. And these others came along and they said, oh, wait, you're doing it all wrong, Galatians. You can't be a Christian without first becoming a Jew. You have to be circumcised. You have to follow the law to the letter. You have to worship like we do in the synagogues. So now Paul is having to do damage control. So this is what he's doing with this letter. Now, this false gospel that Paul is talking about was not just a problem in Paul's time. It seems to have been a problem even before. Even in Jesus' time, there was this idea of exclusion. We heard today also from Luke's gospel in the story of a centurion whose slave was deathly ill, and he was about to die. And the people come to Jesus, and now they say, hey, this guy's a good guy. I mean, we know that he's part of this occupying Roman force, but he's been really good to us. He's been our friend. And they say, he is worthy having you do this for him, for he loves our people. And it is he who built our synagogue for us. So they like him. They like this guy. But now the centurion. Now the centurion knew he was an outsider. He knew he was a Gentile. He knew he didn't belong. And he had internalized this message. And inside himself he was saying, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve good things. And his line to Jesus when Jesus comes along is, Lord, do not trouble yourself. For I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you. Now, isn't that horribly sad? That he had convinced himself that he was less because he was an outsider. But I love how Jesus responds to this. Because Jesus says in response, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. And the centurion's servant was healed. I think what this gospel reading tells us is that Jesus is not concerned with the things that we are concerned with. Jesus is far more concerned with things like faith, and charity and humility, much more than he's concerned with conforming. Now, this false gospel was not just a problem in Jesus' time and in St. Paul's time. This false gospel has never really gone away. You know, there are many controversies that have gone through the church, and so many of them are about the law or how we presume the law is. How often will we say things like, well, in Deuteronomy it says thus and such. Or in the New Testament, there was a side comment about this, and we try to create more of a law. And they're all about falling into line. Now, this doesn't always happen, of course. But sometimes Christians will think that people need to conform to us. They need to come through our doors first instead of us going out. And we don't want to meet others where they are. So what happens because of this? Well, that means that people outside will feel like that centurion. Because of this, many outside will feel unworthy of grace, and they grow bitter. And they feel like, I can't hold up all those rules. I can't hold that all up. I'm not good enough to be a Christian. And what this does is it fails both from inside the church and outside the church. It fails to recognize that we are all just broken people trying to muddle through this life thing together. Now, this is not the only false gospel that we face. There are many other false gospels that we face, things that distract us from the good news of Jesus Christ. One false gospel I encounter is that one that says we can do whatever we want because we are forgiven. Now, to be honest and to be fair, I don't really encounter this very much from Christians ourselves. I tend to hear this one much more from people outside looking in saying, oh, those Christians just think they can do whatever they want. Well, your reality is, among Christians, the opposite is usually more true. We often deal with guilt and sort of bear that burden much more than the other. But you got to think about this. If it were true that we could do whatever we want because we're forgiven, you have to think, Jesus has done a lot for us, has shown us immense amounts of grace, and if we just thought we could do whatever we want because we're forgiven, it would show an enormous amount or enormous lack of gratitude for Christ's gift to us. It's not a very Christian message. Another false gospel I hear is that God is here to make us happy, and if we're really good, God is going to make us rich too. Oh, if only. Well, this one's a problem for a totally different reason. This one is a problem because it's not really about grace. This is selfishness masked as grace. Our Christian calling is to empty ourselves, to give sacrificially, to think about others, and this would go in complete contradiction to that Christian calling. Another false gospel I hear is, it's really just about being a good person and not about religion or theology. This one's a really big one I hear a lot in these days. Now, of course, there's a little bit of a ring of truth to it, because part of our calling as Christians is about kindness and patience and forgiveness and many other virtues that would label us as being good people. But these are only a part of our faith. They are practices. They are practices in the same way that prayer and worship and studying of Scripture and meditation and all these other things that we do as Christians are. And we still need grounding in theology and worship for a full Christian life. Now, a fourth kind of false gospel I hear is kind of the opposite of this. Now, this one I'll hear a lot from the people inside the church, the flip side, which is that worship is the most important thing we do. And, you know, to be honest, I've come across churches, all they do is worship. They get together on Sunday morning and then they leave, and that's it. Now, worship, of course, is very important. Worship refreshes us. It teaches us. It builds up our community, which is the body of Christ. We do need worship as Christians, because without worship, all we are is just a club of do-gooders. All right, yes, we do good, but it's not what we're all about. And if we get too caught up in Sunday morning, then our worship becomes a kind of idolatry. It becomes a worship of worship. The fact is that acts of charity and being out in the world are just as important as worship, and we need both of these to balance each other. In the end, friends, there are a lot of false gospels. And we have to be careful about these false gospels. We have to be careful of things that tell us that we are not worthy of that grace that Christ has given us. Christ has made us worthy. We have to be careful of anything that says we're not. At the same time, we have to also be careful of things that say that we are here for things other than grace. But that good news is still the same today as it was 1,000 years ago and 2,000 years ago. That good news is still that Christ saved us, we are free from the law, and that everyone is welcome in Christ's kingdom. And we need to keep that good news in our sights, because then we can live the gospel more fully, and then we can authentically share it with others. Amen.